Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Today is Thursday, 18th October 2012. I welcome you for this Bhagavad Gita class. So first we start with the prayers. So please chant with me. ॐ अज्ञानातिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते जयपताका स्वामिनि त्रिनामिने नमो विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनि इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे Today we are going to discuss chapter 6, text number 10. Chapter 6 is Dhyana Yoga. So just quickly we'll just read the translation of the previous 8 and 9 that we did last time. A person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi when he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it is be pebbles, stones or gold, as the same. A person is considered still further advanced when he regards honest well-wishers, affectionate benefactors, the neutral mediators, the envious friends and enemies, the pious and the sinners, all with an equal mind. So today we'll be doing 10. So please chant with me. Yogi yunjita satatam. Yogi yunjita satatam. आत्मानं रहसि स्थितः आत्मानं रहसि स्थितः एकाकी यत चित्तात्मा निराशीर अपरिग्रह योगी युञ्जित सततम् योगी युञ्जित सततम् आत्मानं रहसि स्थितः आत्मानं रहसि स्थितः एकाकी यत चित्तात्मा निराशीर अपरिग्रहः I need to make some corrections. I just did it in the evening. Okay. Okay. Sorry for the... This technology. Okay. What about what translation? Yogi, a transcendentalist. Yun Jita must concentrate in Krishna consciousness. Satatam, constantly. Atmanam, himself, by body, mind and self. Rahasi, in a secluded place. Sthitaha, being situated. Ekaki, alone. Yata chitta atma, always careful in mind. Nirashihi, without being attracted by anything else. Aparigraha, free from the feeling of possessiveness. Translation. A transcendentalist should always engage his body, mind and self in relationship with the Supreme. You should live alone in a secluded place and should always carefully control his mind. He should be free from desires and feelings of possessiveness. Please repeat. A transcendentalist should always engage his body, mind, and self in relationship with the Supreme. He should live alone in a secluded place and should always carefully control his mind. He should be free from desires and feelings of possessiveness. So we can see Krishna is now started telling the process, you know, what exactly we should, when we say meditation, who should meditate, where he should meditate, how he should meditate. So this is now the beginning of that. And here we see that the very first one now coming here is tough one, you know. To always engage the body, mind and self in relationship with the Supreme. You should live alone in a secluded place. Absolutely difficult. And should always carefully control his mind. More difficult. And then of course he should be free from desires. When we say that, what Krishna is saying is the material desires. And feelings of possessiveness. This is again very, very tough to give up something, you know, because all of us think that we have worked so hard to get it and now to suddenly give it up, it's very difficult, you know. Even, I mean, and this tendency is there right from the child to the old people. Like, children are the most possessive, right? They just have their toys and cars and everything, they will not let it go. And then the older people are supposed to, only at the very advanced stage we think of all this, you know, that we should be giving up the feelings of possessiveness. So you can imagine, even for meditation, this is a requirement. Why? Because otherwise your mind will go towards that, you know, towards what you have. What you possess, or what you think you possess. We all know that we don't possess anything, but we feel like that, we think like that. That same, I think I gave that example some time back. This man is just not meditation, but you can consider it like that. You know that how possessive person can be. He buys a new shoes, you know, and this was shown on the TV. very nice, simple drama. And then he is to get married. Or no, not married, he has something going at home, you know, some karma kanda position, portion, ritual he is doing. So he is called a priest, Panditji. So he just goes, you know, in his shoes, right there, where they are doing the puja, supposed to do the puja. And the Pandit says, hey, you cannot come here with shoes. He says, oh, my shoes are new shoes. He says, oh, no, whatever it is, you cannot bring leather here. This is all very pavitra, pure place. So you just go, get it out. And this man gets it out. But when he is sitting for the puja, his whole mind is there in the, you know, every now and then he looks there, somebody is touching it or what, you know. And so much so that sometimes he leaves the puja and then goes out, you know, rush. And pujari is calling you, hey, Mahajajman, please come back, where are you going? So he is gone just to check the shoes, you know, whether it's there. So that is the same way. We have a house, and you know how much we have, were possessive. Make a boundary. Put somebody when you go out, you know, this security, that security, you know, CCTV. Same with the car, same with the wife, same with everything. So, this feeling of possessiveness, desires, okay, you know, we can always have spiritual desires, but to get rid of this possessiveness is very tough. So, let's see what the acharyas have to say about this particular shloka. Very interesting. Commentaries are there. So we take the points. So first, this is from Prabhupada. Prabhupada explains what is Krishna consciousness. He says it means concisely, very precisely, to be always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Loving service. Not by force. Not by some coercion, loving, always engaged. How is it possible? It is possible. If you transform your consciousness from material to spiritual and bring Krishna into the center, it's possible. It just, of course, it needs also a lot of practice and, you know, some austerities and so on. Regulate. That's why we said regulative principles of freedom. That's what we have to apply. We have to apply all the freedom, all the principles given already to us. And then here, we can see that even the impersonalists or yogis, you know, those who are meditating, like through this process, they are also partially Krishna conscious. Why? It is explained that because even Brahma Jyoti comes from Krishna and Paramatma is the expansion of Krishna. So everything is Krishna, ultimately. So it's not bad. Please let us not get into that thing. Oh, everything is bad. Only this. No, there is nothing only. This is a choice. What we have taken up is a better choice. Intelligent choice, as it is said. Okay? So, this is one important thing, you know, we should not deride. We should not start telling that, oh, everybody else is useless and so on. No. Even the most useless person has some use. Sometimes the devotee becomes very humble. So, you must be remembering that one time somebody came to Prabhupada, disciple, and he says, Prabhupada, I am most insignificant. Soul. And Prabhupada immediately corrected him. He says, you are most nothing. Don't say most insignificant. You know, you don't possess that quality, qualification. You're just trying to be something. So sometimes, you know, we are overtly humble, trying to. And then there will be a project like that. Now, so Krishna is telling, according to Srila Prabhupada, that all these, the three, the devotees, the impersonalists, and the yogis, transcendentalists, they are all instructed herewith to constantly engage in their particular pursuit. See, if you are impersonal, your goal is to merge into the Brahma Jyoti. But that is a firm, that should be a firm goal. Yes? There again, you have to do something at the highest level, not some mediocre. So they should be engaged so that they may come to the highest perfection, sooner or later. See, somebody does it, like, you know, there is a, I just always give this example of PhD degree, you know. Somebody does it fast, somebody does it late. There are people who are doing it at the age of 80, there are people who are doing it at the age of 18. But the goal is same. The same way, some devotees are very fast. They take it up like fish taking to water. And for them everything is so natural. And they progress very fast, nicely. Next point. The first business of a transcendentalist is to keep the mind always on Krishna. So if your mind is always on Krishna, then whether you are meditating or not meditating doesn't matter. Okay? It doesn't matter. Whether you are sitting in a posture with all the what we are going to see, the process. And the most important, this is the formula, I don't know, I love this formula, that we should always think of Krishna and not forget. So I remember there, you know, this is how it was told to me or to the audience at that, on that day, almost 20 odd years back, you know, just beginning of my Krishna conscious journey. And the Prabhu said that for everything in this world, when some instruction, something comes, you know, some rule comes, the moment there is a rule, there is a law, the next thing is do's and don'ts. What you should do and what you don't. And then he says, okay, if you want to become Krishna conscious, here is the law. That you should be, like it says, keep Krishna in your mind always. And then he said, there is a do's and there is a do and there is a don't. The do is always remember Krishna. And what is the, so we are all expecting, you know, what is the don't now? And the don't is never forget Krishna. So it's so smart way of saying, you know, that you have to always remember Krishna. Oh, you may not forget him and you may always remember him. And then I remember we used to have this prasadam, you know, this, in India they call it khaja, small little fried, or a shakarpara, those who know Hindi. So they used to be packed in a small little paper pack, you know, and distributed all over Bangalore city. And on that, we had printed this, I remember, that the person used to come and give. Here it is, Swamiji, Prabhuji, whatever name, you know, and then he says, and then he gives about 20, 30 because we had a shop. He says, give it to everybody. And then on that it was written, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So it's a good reminder. People will read that and say, what is this? And somebody will smile if he understands. Sometimes they don't understand what's going on. So it was a nice way of, you know, preaching. Okay, this is another formula. You know, I'm glad in one purport only all the formulas are coming. And this formula is, sometimes people ask this, devotees ask me all the time. How do we progress in Krishna consciousness? What is the best way of doing it? I want to progress fast. So of course, one is that formula and the second is this. What is that? He should be very careful to accept favorable and reject unfavorable conditions. One more thing which is can be added here is, one should be very careful to accept favorable, whatever is favorable for our Krishna consciousness, and be firm in that, dhrida nischaya. And whatever is not favorable, then we should reject it and be firm in that again, you know. Not that okay, let me try, you know, okay, I want to do this, but what to do, you know, I must, like that. No, be firm. Be firm. Then only we can progress. And now Prabhupada is quoting from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami says, I'm going to read the whole thing. When one is not attached to anything, but at the same time accepts everything in relation to Krishna, one is rightly situated above possessiveness. Let's try to understand. Not attached to anything, but accepts everything in relation to Krishna. So, for example, somebody called me today and he said, we talked for some time and he says, I want to give some Lakshmi. So I didn't ask him any questions, you know, why, how much. Immediately my answer was, yes, we accept any kind of Lakshmi for Krishna, service of Krishna, you know, that's the thing. So that time, you are not possessive. You are possessive only about one thing, and that is Krishna. Krishna is mine, and I am Krishna. That possessiveness is positive. It's not something we should reject. And then he says, Rupa Goswami says, on the other hand, one who rejects everything without knowledge of its relationship to Krishna is not as complete in his renunciation. That is called as dry renunciation, shushka vairagya. Dry, that means give up everything. Like they say, neti, neti, neti. This material world is false, so give it up, give it up, give it up. And we say, no, we'll use it. Now, like for example, this computer and all of you also sitting on the computer could be a very dangerous thing, addictive thing, right? But the moment we start using it for Krishna, it doesn't, you know. So the idea now devotees are seeing is, how can I use this media to propagate Krishna's message to more and more number of people, you know. Because this world is full of misery. And as a devotee, it's our duty to mitigate some of it. We can't do much, but at least we can do something. Like for example now, a few of us are discussing, you know, and people keep dropping in and dropping out and things like that, you know. But the thing continues, right? So that's exactly the mood, and that's what Rupa Goswami is saying. Okay. A Krishna conscious person well knows that everything belongs to Krishna. So this possessiveness is gone. The moment you become a devotee, that condition that has been put for this meditation is you should be free from possessiveness. So it's gone. Like, you know, we say, okay, it doesn't belong to me. Of course, people use it very loosely. You know, sometimes they will say, oh, everything belongs to Krishna. And then you say, can you, okay, if everything belongs to Krishna, can I have some 50,000 rupees? Anyway, it belongs to Krishna. I want to use it for Krishna. Immediately, family responsibility, this, that, you know, taking care of this, taking care of that, everything will come. And that just reminds me, you know, how this is, how we have to take it, and, you know, with a small incident in Srila Prabhupada's time. I think some of you might have heard this. Prabhupada was in Calcutta, Kolkata, and somebody brought him a industrialist, you know. His name was Jhunjhunwala. Jhunjhunwala used to be a famous guy in Calcutta. Famous in the sense, not very famous, but people knew him because he was a industrialist. And he had some glass factory. I worked in glass factory for about 12 years, so I know Jhunjhunwala. So the devotee who brought him, you know, he started glorifying him. Srila Prabhupada is very nice and, you know, very charitable and so on and so forth, you know. Prabhupada did not give him much attention, you know. Prabhupada was Prabhupada wanted to see how sincere he is. So he was not giving attention much. He said, okay, it's all right, give him prasadam. They said, Prabhupada, he can help us a lot. And this. Then Prabhupada decided that, okay, let me find out about this person. So Prabhupada says, okay, so aap kya banate hain? What do you make? And he said, I'm making glass. And Prabhupada is a pharmacist, so he knows. He says, oh, okay. So, aapka factory hai, it's your factory. So, what is the raw material? So, he started saying, silica and magnesium, potassium, this, that, blah, blah, something, few things he told. And Prabhupada says, what is that silica? Can you tell me about silica? So, he says, sand. It means the sand is called silica. So Prabhupada says, from where you get this sand? What do you mean? He says, I take it from Ganga. On the banks of Ganga, all this fine sand is there. Trucks bring it. So Prabhupada says, oh, so you are using that sand? Who put it there? So this, of course he knows, but he is trying to be ignorant. What do you mean by who put it? He says, no, somebody has put the sand there and you are taking it, right? So he says, oh yeah, this is to Bhagwan ne rakha hai, Bhagwan ka ye hai, Ganga leke aayi Bhagwan. It's of God. So Prabhupada said, that means it belongs to God, and that is what you said. It says 78% of your raw material is only sand. So 78% of your raw material comes from God. Everything comes from God, he says, but at least this much definitely comes from Krishna. So he says, 78% of the Krishna is the owner of 78% owner of your factory, because you are using his raw material. So how much are you paying him? He says, you should give him 78% profit. Are you giving? And then, as I said, he started telling, I have to pay this tax, that tax. Prabhupada says, okay. So don't, then he just asked him to take prasadam, and then he told the devotees, don't bring these people like this to me and, try to glorify them. They are not more important than Krishna. Krishna is the one. In presence of Krishna, they are all beggars. And this is a question of possession, So, this person is aloof from material things. Why? Because he is transcendental to that. That is no attachment. And he is always alone. And he has nothing to do with persons not in Krishna consciousness. So this again, this is the question of association. Nothing to do with persons not in Krishna consciousness. That is the one day our goal. Of course, we say all the time, that we have to deal with this and that. But remember, we had discussed this earlier. Even when we are dealing, we should give our association to them, not take their association. Not take their association. That's what. Now, so what happens? This person, when he is meditating, goes to a secluded place, devoid of desires, with all mind fluctuations subdued. So it's already accepted that mind has fluctuations. Immersed in meditation. On what? Atma. Paramatma. And now, we already read that translation, but this is little better explanation of each one of them, when we hear. Satatam. The word came satatam. Elsewhere Krishna says, satatam kirtayanto mam. People ask, how long should we chant? And his answer is satatam. You are supposed to be satatam kirtayanto mam. Here he is saying, satatam. He should be living in a secluded place. Not that you go there in your Mercedes car and, come back. No, you live there. Fixed in a daily routine. Satatam. Then we heard these two words, yunjita atmanam, atmanam, meaning attentively concentrating on the soul. And there was a word called rahasi, solitary location, away from ekaki. So ekaki, you live by yourself where? In a rahasi, in a place where there is nobody, away from. So all, if you see that, then okay, next. Yatta chittatma means checking the capricious stream of thoughts that cascade in the mind. See, wonderful words. Capricious stream of thought. That means they are not favorable thoughts. They are distracting thoughts, troubling thoughts that cascade. Like, you know, one after the other they come in the mind. Nirasir means to be weaned from every impetus except the impetus for Atma, Atma Tattva. And finally, aparigraha means being devoid of every single possession. Aparigraha. Parigraha means to hold. Aparigraha means to give up. So you have to give up everything except Krishna, except Atma. That's what Krishna is suggesting. Okay. So, we see that it's a tough proposition. And when we go to the next shloka, we'll see that it becomes tougher and tougher. And when people come and say, oh, I was doing meditation, and then you remain same. Your day-to-day behavior remains same. Then there's no use. Any process that you follow, you have to transform. There should be some visual change in you. Like one person on my Facebook page today asked me a question. My friend has seen Krishna in 400 form, Chaturbhuja, he saw Krishna. So, has he got moksha? Now what do we say? His friend has seen Krishna. I mean, here yogis for thousands of years meditate, and then they can't see. They can see only him within. And he says he saw him. So I asked him only one question. I mean, I just said, just tell me how the friend is behaving after seeing Krishna. If he is behaving the same old way, that means what he saw was not Krishna, but it was hallucination. Some imaginary thing he saw, you know. And if he has really seen Krishna, then he should not be behaving like this. He should be totally at peace with himself, you know. Nothing to do with the material. That's the ultimate, final destination. Like Bhishma Deva is now, in our Bhagavatam class, Bhishma Deva is about to leave the body. He just, today's class, he left the body. So, and what was there? He was having darshan of Krishna through and through in his last period. We are not so fortunate. So we have to do everything. We have to earn our place in Krishna's heart, you know, to earn. These devotees are Mahajans, you know, they are already there. It's like, you know, somebody is appointed because of special relationship, nominated or something, but everybody has to earn it, right? So, I'd like to stop here. If you have any question, comment, we can take it up. Thank you very much.